This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Good evening, I'm David Gale and welcome to The Informer. Tonight I'm joined by Paul McClure. On tonight's Informer, we will be talking with Senator Janet Rice about what's been going on in Canberra today. We'll also be chatting again with Felicity Marlowe from Rainbow Families. But this week she's taken a group to Canberra and we'll find out what she's been doing there. And it is Foster Carers Week this week. Anita Pell from Berry Street will be telling us about foster care and smashing some myths. On The Informer tonight, we have Greens Senator Janet Rice speaking to us from Canberra. Thank you for joining us, Senator.
My pleasure, David and Paul.
Can you give us an update on what's been happening in Parliament today?
Well, it's been another massive day on the issue of marriage equality, but really the best bit of the day was the fact that we had the Rainbow Families here. So I began and almost ended my day with meetings of Rainbow Families, all of these kids, wonderful, normal, healthy, wonderful families, basically. So it really reinforced the importance of marriage equality and how all families, regardless of people's sexual orientation or gender identity, they are just families, people.
It's true. It's great to see that that human face on this issue.
That's right. And look, their slogan that love makes a family, it just, goes to the heart of it.
It's true.
Yeah.
It really hits home.
Yeah, so in terms of the politics, obviously we've had the plebiscite proposal go to the government's party room, and the proposal for a plebiscite, which is not only going to cost $160 million and be really, hurtful and harmful and set an awful precedent for putting the minority of the human rights of a minority sort of up for a popular vote, but then the proposal to also then allocate $15 million of funding. So funding sort of doing the, really using the megaphone to amplify the hate speech throughout the community.
$7.5 million to the Yes and No campaign. Is there any idea where that $7.5 million for each side is going to go to?
Well, we had an explanation in Question Time today that they're going to set up yes and no committees. I think that they're going to invite people to be on, and I don't know what the process would be, but those yes and no committees, I think the proposal is that they would determine where the funding gets spent. And the Australian Christian Lobby are obviously a key organisation that have got their hand out to get some of that money. And we heard Lyle Shelton on radio this morning basically saying that they wanted to use it to campaign against the plebiscite and the consequences of the plebiscite, which is an awful, that rings absolute alarm bells when
it sure does.
Yes, what the consequences of a plebiscite, attacking the traditional values of marriage, which is what they're on about, which means attacking lesbian, gay and gender diverse people.
Yeah. It's a pretty long game. We realised that as soon as Parliament came back that there would be things happening. And of course, Adam Bandt from the Greens, with Andrew Wilkie and Cathy McGowan, the two independents, introduced a bill yesterday to the floor of the House of Reps. And also there was Bill's bill also put through, the ALP put through
That's right.
As well. So these are two private member style bills for equality, marriage equality. What has been the progress on those?
Well, they've been introduced, and then it's extremely unlikely that they'll get any further. The government won't give them any time for debate. I mean, we would have preferred there just to have been one bill to have been reintroduced and for it to have been the bill that had cross-party support at, earlier on this year in the last session of Parliament, which had Labor and, in fact, had the Liberals sign, some Liberal members of Parliament sign onto it as well. But Labor decided to go on their own and sort of put their own bill in. So they are now on the notice paper, but they will just sit there. I think the next step, we're going to be debating the bill that we have reintroduced, which is the long-standing marriage bill that we've had on the books, I think, since 2009.
Yeah.
We'll be reintroduced on, and we'll be debating that on Thursday, but we are unlikely to bring that to a vote on Thursday, just basically to say, here we are, here are all the arguments for marriage equality.
Mm. But at the same time, the government can also put their own plebiscite legislation, which will just sail through on the numbers.
Well,
and then go to the upper house.
That's right. We don't know what the timing of when the government intends to introduce the plebiscite legislation. The interesting thing about the way that Parliament operates is there's much more government business time in the early half of the week than in the latter half of the mm-hmm. week. So we will see whether they move, they'd have to introduce it into the House tomorrow to have a chance of getting it to the Senate, because we have very little government business time on Thursdays in the Senate. So, it will go. We expect that the plebiscite legislation, the government will have the numbers to get that through the House. But then the big issue is whether it gets blocked in the Senate. And I would say at the moment it's looking extremely likely.
Well,
it's extremely likely that it will get blocked in the Senate.
The government's going to say, we're not going to get a plebiscite through the upper house, so there's no negotiation. That's it for the next 3 years.
Well, that's what they're going to say, but everyone knows that, if you're trying to predict what's happening for the next 3 years, you're a fool, given how unpredictable this Parliament is. What we know is that, okay, let's block this unnecessary, sort of harmful, divisive, expensive plebiscite. Not a good idea. It was basically something dreamt up by Tony Abbott to try and delay marriage equality.
Yeah.
Let's get that out of the way, and now let's continue to really ramp up the campaign to let Parliament do its job and to have a free vote in the Parliament. Because we're in a crazy situation where we know we've got the Prime Minister, the Leader of the Opposition, and it seems a majority of the members of both the House of Representatives and the Senate.
And the public as well.
And the public all in support of marriage equality. We just need to say, okay, everyone needs to be able to vote with their hearts and with their conscience, and we would have marriage equality. We could have it this week. We could have weddings by Christmas.
Of course. There's public opinion, and also I believe that the media is also being swayed more and more onto the same side as we're all coming from. So, it has still got a little bit of a way to play. It's great talking to you tonight, Janet, or Senator Rice, because, we love hearing from you and we love hearing these sorts of updates. So we look forward to talking to you again in the future on The Informer.
Terrific.
Thanks very much.
I'm very pleased to keep everyone up to date. And yes, it's a moving feast, but I'm really hopeful we're going to get a great outcome and have people being able to marry the person they love much sooner rather than later.
We look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Paul.
Last week on The Informer, we spoke with Felicity Marlowe from Rainbow Families about the change to adoption laws which came into effect on September the 1st and the impact they will have on same-sex adoption. This week on The Informer, Felicity is speaking to us after a long day in Canberra, our nation's capital. Welcome, Felicity.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Tell us, why are you in Canberra?
Well, we thought we would all just pop up to Canberra with some Rainbow Families from New South Wales and Victoria to deliver a really simple message, and we've done that, we think, relatively successfully today. And our message was, for the sake of the kids, please, no plebiscite.
So you're there with a number of families from Victoria and New South Wales?
That's right. So we've brought 21 parents and carers and 27 children from the age of 10 months to 21 years of age. And we've brought them up here so that finally we could add the children's voice to this debate. It does feel like it's all done and dusted, but we really think that when people have met our kids today, it might hopefully change some hearts and minds, particularly of those people who perhaps are a little stuck in how best to extract themselves from the mess that is the plebiscite.
Well, it's also putting a human face on how a plebiscite is going to affect not just the people that are coming up with the rules or just the people that are going to vote, also the people that are going to be affected in same-sex relationships. Who have you met with today?
We've had a pretty long list of people we've met with. I'd like to say that we were pretty happy when we did our photo at 8 a.m. outside the front of Parliament House that Bill Shorten jogged past, so I've got a fantastic shot with him. that was really great. And we've also met with Darren Hinch, we've met with Andrew Wilkie, we've met with Adam Batts and the Greens in a lower house. We've had a range of ALP meetings with the Deputy Leader, Tanya Plibersek, with Anthony Albanese, Andrew Giles, who was fantastic. And then a wonderful afternoon presentation the children gave to the ALP. The other members of the Rainbow families that we all know, Senator Penny Wong and Senator Louise Platt. So that was pretty exciting and beautiful to see the kids speaking so well. I guess saying all of that, it was pretty hard to make any time to see anyone who potentially is in the coalition, but to try and convince them to change their mind. It was a pretty hard call for them, I guess, to see children who are going to be faced with the discrimination as so the fight was unleashed, and look them in the eye and really say that they think a further fight is a good idea. So no one... we've got two meetings, I guess, secured with Liberal members, and today we had one with Tim Wilson, which some of the kids found really hard and quite upsetting, but they had a good go, a good robust go at talking to him about what they're worried about.
So what, Felicity, what was the response generally that you had from the... I know you just reeled off a lot of people that you met with today. What has been the response?
Oh, really positive and really thrilled. I guess most people have been really thrilled to see these young children who can be so articulate and so passionate about their families. I found it really amazing to be able to bring my three kids up here with my partner, Sarah, and to hear them talk so beautifully about how they love their mums and really want them to marry and can't believe that a further fight's going to be inflicted upon them. We've had some very articulate children here today. And I think that was really the key. And you're right about, you know, having some human contact and actually seeing that, you know, when you have these random discussions about let's have a respectful debate and let's have a code of conduct, and yet you hear from these kids that who's going to tell the kids at my school that already bully me, and he's going to tell my friend's parents when I go over there for a play date and I overhear them talking about the fact that they've got to choose how they're going to vote on the plebiscite. And he's going to tell my soccer coach that, you know, that when I listen to him and talk with the other parents at soccer about the marriage plebiscite, upcoming marriage plebiscite, that I'm worried about what they're saying and I'm worried about what they're going to vote for. So our kids are really articulate. They can't understand it. Mm. They don't understand how other people get a chance to say who their mum or their dad should love. And I guess in the end, you know, the kids are pretty sad and pretty upset. Mm. But they found it a very... I asked them all to give me a word to describe their day, and overwhelmingly the word they all picked was awesome. Oh, so that's a pretty positive sign.
That is a positive sign. And the thing about children is that they're just cut straight to the point.
They cut through the crap, basically.
Yeah, in the most simplistic terms, but they're the most endearing terms.
Unlike politicians. Look, you could have just visited a whole bunch of agreeing politicians. And I know, you know, you've reeled off quite a few ALP members of parliament, and many of them are on the side of marriage equality. Some of them aren't as well. Who have you met the most resistance from?
I think the hardest appointment that we had today was with one of the newest gay MPs, Tim Wilson.
Yeah.
And the young people that went to that meeting found it just really difficult to fathom how, as a gay man who potentially might, with his partner one day, have kids himself, could possibly support a plebiscite.
Who also wants to get married, and we saw his amazing opening speech on the floor of the House of Reps. I know.
That's right.
But at the same time, but there's still a party line that he wants to. I know.
Yeah, and so I guess that's the thing. Like we were talking to the kids who have been so articulate and so powerful today about how you know it's a slow process sometimes to win over people's hearts and minds. But what they're doing today and what they will achieve in the future is amazing. And I have to say, after they've met, you know, members of the Greens and members of the Liberal Party and members of the ALP and a whole range of independents, I think we've got quite a few budding politicians in our midst, in our Rainbow family. So who knows what the future holds.
It sounds very exciting. Felicity, was there much media coverage of the event today?
Look, there was a lot of interest. We've done a range of interviews, as have the kids, with The Guardian, Channel 10, Channel 9, and a whole range of radio. And so it's really been fantastic and really positive. We've had a great time.
It's good that the message is getting out there.
Yes, the message is definitely getting out there. We think we've made an impact, and this will be probably not the last time that Rainbow Families come to Canberra.
Which is great, because we know...
I've really got to go. I'm so sorry. I've got to go.
Okay, look, it's great having you on the Informer, and we look forward to catching up again soon.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a great pleasure to give you our first hot-off-the-press update of our great Rainbow Families Say No Plebiscite Day in Canberra.
Thank you, Felicity Marlowe. Bye.
Bye.
Effects of violence, abuse and neglect. Their focus is on the right of every child to a good childhood, growing up feeling safe, nurtured and with the hope of the future. This week is Foster Care Week, September 11th through to 17th. And tonight on The Informer we have Anita Pell, Senior Advisor for Home-Based Care from Berry Street. Welcome, Anita.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here this evening with you.
Great to have you on The Informer. Now, you're no stranger to Joy 94.9. What can you tell us about Foster Care Week?
So Foster Care Week is a time that we use each year to thank our carers and to promote the good work that carers do. And we also use it as an opportunity and a platform for recruiting more carers.
Tell us... Anita, you're a trainer for carers. What can you tell me about that? What's your role?
Okay, so one of the things that I do in my role is that I develop training programs for foster carers. And so in partnership with the Foster Care Association of Victoria, I deliver training across the state to carers. And so last year, I think we had about 500 carers that attended during the year.
Wow,
we provided, it's really good. We provided about 12 sessions across the state, and we're about to start next month for the next 12 months.
Right, because, you know, I suppose just in our own minds, thinking about taking on a child for foster care, it sounds like an enormous task. I mean, you know, we actually don't even realise that there is training involved and that it's available from Berry Street, of course. Carers can be from the GLBTIQ community, can't they? They can apply.
They absolutely can. And in fact, you know, we're really proud of the partnership that we have with Joy, because we know that that the GLBTIQ community is a wonderful place for us to recruit from, because they're like anyone, you know, they're really keen to raise children, and certainly foster care gives them that opportunity to do that. And so Berry Street's really proud of our partnership with Joy, because we've recruited a number of GLBTIQ community carers, and you know, it's fabulous. It's really good.
I noticed that there's different types of caring roles. One of the ones that I picked up on from your website was respite care, because obviously people are foster parents and, you know, there is no break and sometimes that's needed. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. Sometimes the... So we use respite at in a sense at either end of what we call our service system. So at the light end of the service system. So we might get referrals from families themselves to say that they just need a break for the child. The child can remain at home with them, but so long as we've got a bit of a break, they might not have family around them. And so a way of us keeping that child there is to provide respite to those families. And then at the other end of the system, when you've got carers that are providing care for children who have a lot of challenges and present some, you know, a lot of work for the carers, then we provide respite actually for the carers. So that they can recharge themselves, maybe a weekend, a month, or whatever it is that they need. The more challenging the young person, the more often that they might require a bit of a break.
Mm. So aside from the respite care role, what other roles are there?
Sorry, I'll just turn that off.
Certainly.
Can you believe that that rang while I was doing that?
Oh, it always happens.
Sorry.
That's all right. Apart from respite carers, what other types of foster carers do you cater for?
We have, there's a range of different types of care and components of care. So the types of care might be respite, might be emergency placements. Mm. Emergency is usually sort of overnight to about 6 weeks. And then reception care is when a child has been removed by child protection and a report has to be prepared for the children's court. And so that's called reception care, and that might go up to 8 weeks, you know, around about that time. And then there's short-term care, where a child will stay in care for maybe up to 6 months, and then long-term foster care that goes up to 2 years. And there are times when permanent foster care is required, which goes longer than the 2 years.
That's that covers a wide variety of situations with those different types of foster carers that are available. When you're looking at foster carers to fit each of those roles, is there specific qualities or characteristics that you look for, or is it an across-the-board type of a situation?
So foster carers come in all shapes and sizes, basically. So we have carers who are single people, who are, you know, married with a young family, same-sex couples, aged carers, you know, carers where their children have left the home, they've gone off and there's a bit of empty nest syndrome, and carers feel as though that they've still got a bit more to give, you know, different religious affiliations. You know, we really have a non-discriminatory approach to accepting inquiries from people who want to become carers. And then we have a robust assessment process that people will go through, which is the same for everybody. The assessment process is not different.
Right. Look, last week we were talking with Felicity Marlowe from Rainbow Families, and we were talking about the amendments to the Adoption Act, which now mean that it's possible for same-sex couples to adopt children, and also they're also able to adopt foster children. What can you tell us about that? What implications does that have?
So adoption in Victoria is... there are not large numbers of adoptions that occur in Victoria, especially for children, you know, over the ages of 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. There is room in the legislation for children to be adopted once they've been in foster care, directly from foster care. There's also room in the legislation for the guardianship of the child to be transferred to the carers, which is we call that a permanent care order. Mm-hmm. So whilst that's not adoption, it is a permanent care order.
Also, can you tell us about any personal stories? Obviously you can't give out names, but any personal stories that you've found quite amazing?
I think, you know, a couple of the things, you know, we're moving with this, in the current environment that we're living, you know, we need to move towards more of a therapeutic approach to providing care, because we understand more about trauma. Mm. We know the importance of attachment. And so one of the examples that I'd like to give you is an example of a child who was in the therapeutic care placement. It was a very young child. It was the child was only about 6 months old. Came into care. The primary carer was a male. And the baby was in care with the foster carer, and so a part of the approach was the foster care working really closely with the male parent, and they worked together really closely for about 6 or 8 months. And eventually it got to the stage where, you know, the department and our agency agreed that that it might be good for the child to start having more contact with the male parent on his own to see how he would go. He was really anxious about it at first, but then what he did was every time the child stayed overnight with him, initially it was only for one night, then it was for two, then it gradually increased, he would ring the foster carer for support and say, oh, you know, this is happening, what can I do? And so she would provide support to him. And so eventually that little one went home to live with the male parent. And what happened was that he's now, and the little one, has become an extended part of the carers in terms of, you know, Christmas time and birthday time. They catch up and have lunch together or something like that. Not, you know, not a lot of contact, but enough contact there for the dad to know that he can actually contact the carer if he needs some support or respite.
Yeah, that's a great story of collaboration like that working so positively, clearly for that child.
Yeah,
and of course, it is, the focus is on the child having a good childhood.
It is. And, you know, what happened there was that the additional therapeutic approach, you know, work was done with the family by a clinician, and that clinician also worked with the carers, and so they were all speaking the same language.
Okay.
And it worked really well.
Anita, we're running out of time, unfortunately. It's great to have you on The Informer tonight. We urge everybody to check out the link to Berry Street, which will be on our podcast, of course. And remember that it is Foster Carers Week this week. It's great talking to you, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.